Okay, today's daf is daf Samach Dalet, and we got up to about a quarter of the way down. Omrev Tuvi Bar Kisna is where we're up to. Omrev Tuvi Bar Kisna Omer Shmuel, Kotvim Igeret Mered Al Arusa, Vein Kotvim Igeret Mered Al Shemeret Yavam. When the Bezdin goes in to begin this process of, depending what you hold, if it's the daily, it was originally, or whether it's the Takana, the Rabbanon that we said yesterday, Rabotenu, but we need an act of Beit Din. We have an act of Beit Din. It's written up as a legal document that the woman has, that she's being basically put into the merit state, and therefore she's losing her ktuva, or vice versa. You write the same thing against the male in order to be mosif al ktuva. So it says over here that we will write in cases, until now we're talking about cases where a woman who is married doesn't perform, but there are also two cases in the list that we're talking about a woman who's married, but a woman who was about to be married, either the Arus or the Shemeret Yavam. So in those cases we're talking about, she refuses. She refuses to go to the Chuppah, the Shemeret Yavam refuses, I would assume, we're going to make it clear soon, Shemeret Yavam, that she refuses to accept the Yavam. So it says over here that although we will write an Igeret Meret against an Arus and refuses to go to the Chuppah, we will not write an Igeret Meret on a Shemeret Yavam who refuses to get, I assume, Yavam. Asked the Gemara, what about the Braita that we spoke about yesterday? It says, "Beferish achatli alusab nisua afilu nida afilu cholah vafilu shomeret yavam." Over here, it's clear that it's in both cases exactly the same. And arus and a shomeret yavam are both considered to be mordot. So why is it saying over here that we will not write, according to Shmuel, a negeret merit? Lo kasha kan shetavahu kan shetavahi. The Omar of Tachlifa Baravini Omar Shmuel tavahu niskakinlo tavahi ein niskakinlo. Basically, when it says over here, according to Shmuel, that we will not write for a Shomeret Yavam, that depends who exactly is the Toveya. Remember that the Geret Merit would be written either against the Yavama or against the Yavam, as the case may be. Now the Shaila is, who's doing the demanding over here? So since Shmuel said that if he is Toveya, that he wants action over here, which is the Tviya for Yibum, so then fine, then we'll be niskaklo, because he has a right to demand it, because he has b'chuyev a period of arrivia. So he's saying, what's going on? This is a chiyev I've got, and you're not performing. Mashenken, if she is tovat, so then why should we be niskakin to her, to write any gerad moed, the merit, to be mosif on her ksuva? For what purpose? She's not b'chuyev a period of arrivia. At least this is why we're looking at it now. We'll see, it gets a little bit more complex to take into consideration other issues. Okay, so, excuse me, but now, how is that an answer? You have a contradiction in the Shmuel in terms, from the Braita, in terms of the din of the Gered Merit against a Shomeret Yavam. But the cases apparently are similar cases. They're saying, Aruser Shomeret Yavam. So if you're telling me that we're talking about that Bishatavahi, so you're saying that the case of Shmuel is Bishatavahi, so then why does it say, Kotvimi Gered Merit Al Aruser? If it's the same case, forget about why the Arusa is different. That's also a problem which we're going to get to. But why does it say, Kotvim Igeret Al Arusa? That means against her. If she's the one that's Tovat, it should say to the Arusa, against him, not Al Arusa. So, I mean, the list over here is different than what you're claiming. You're claiming that, I mean, certainly it doesn't mean in one case for her, or one case against her. I mean, it says on all of the Shemas are the same. So Le Arusa mi boyleis. If that's how you're understanding Shmuel, so it should say for the Arusa against the husband who is refusing to take it to the chuppah. Okay, so change that. Oh gosh, it's ni Le Arusa. So okay, even if I accept that, explain to me the difference. Maishna Shomeret Yavam. Why is it that the Shomeret Yavam we will not write for her a suit against him to turn him into a meire? Because I assume Hamrina Lazil. Get out of here, this is a frivolous suit. What's an afkamina to you? Lo mafkaret, you're not mechuyevet on period of arrivia, so what are you coming along now suing him for? And so why can't we say the same thing to an arusa? Is that the issue? That's the only issue in life, is period of arrivia. Arusa nami, name alas, if that's the issue, we can tell her the same thing, see you? Lo mafkaret. Ella, obviously we're talking about, she's not coming along to Bezdin and saying, look, well, what about my fee of a period of arrivia? She's coming along and saying, what kind of business is this? I want to get married. I want to have children. I need a future. So she's Bahamach Matana. She's saying, the Amra, what are you talking to me about? A Chiyav, a period of Arivia. The Inan Chutra Liyado Mara Lekfur. I don't understand. You want me to grow old without children? Who's going to be my staff of support? And who's going to be my shovel for burial? I need kids. Who's going to take care of my old age? So Hachinami, the Shomer Givam can say exactly the same thing. What's happening over here? Where's my future? So she would be, obviously we can't say one case is where there's no taina, one case is where there's the taina. So there too, it's the same taina, but machmas taina. So that's an artificial distinction. Why would there be a difference between a Shomer Givam and an Arusa? Let's go back to the way we took it originally. Obviously, we're talking about both cases. There was the Tviya. He was being Toveya. We're continuing to discuss it from the point of view of an Igeret merit against a woman, not for a woman against a male, which is a sudden change in how we're looking at it. But Lokasha, actually, it's very portion. The difference between the case where we say Nizkaki to write an Igeret merit against the Shomer Yavam, the case where Shmuel says we don't, well, depends what the Tviya was for. Kan lachalotz v'kan liyaben. Doesn't make an afkamina what he was demanding? Because Rav Pedas already said, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Yomer Rav Pedas, Yomer Rabbi Yochanan, it depends what he's demanding. If he's being tovea chalitza, so then nizkakin lo. But tova liyaben, ain't nizkakin lo. If he wants to do yibum, so then we will not write a nigeret merit. We'll only write a nigeret merit if she refuses to do chalitza. Why is that? I assume the reason we won't write a nigeret merit, I mean, obviously we are already prejudiced because we know that nafkamina halacha, but nowadays chalitza yibam, that we're not going to force yibam, but right now we're not going according to the Mishnah Achrona that knows that distinction. So initially the Gemara says, okay, so early on, in other words, at all times, I would assume there's an nafkamina between a tviya for yibam, that we can tell him, why should we write you a nigeret merit? What do you really care? What do you care? You want a woman? Take another woman. Well, what do you need her that because she fell to you for yibum? So in other words, we will tell him, why will we not write a nigeret merit against her for not willing to go through with the yibum? Because we say to him, if you want to get married, why can't you get married to somebody else? So for chalitza, can we do the same thing? We say the same time. If he's asking lachalotz, and you're saying, well, for that we will write a nigeret merit. Why? Why can't we tell him the same thing? What does it bother you? I understand there's a problem if she doesn't get chalitza. She's asur l'shuk. But you, what do you care? You can marry somebody else even if you didn't give her chalitza. Ella, obviously, he would be coming with the taina and saying, Diyomar, so he's saying that, no, people don't want to marry me. Because they see a yibum hanging over my head, they're gonna say, "Wow, he's gonna decide now to do yibum. Now I'm gonna have a second. I'm gonna have a tzora in my house. Forget it. I'm not gonna get involved with this guy." So you can say the same thing over. If that's the case for the yibum as well. Kivan dagi, that'd be lokayavi leachriti. What's an afkamina if the tviya over here is for chalitza or for yibum? In either case, people are going to get very suspicious and wary of getting involved with the guy. So you should have the same taina in either direction. So what's the meaning, therefore, of the difference? Okay, you're right. Simple solution. Forget about it. Let's talk about both cases. Talking about a tviya for yibum. The difference between Shmuel and the bright is lokasha kan commission rishena, kan commission achreina. It depends whether indeed there's a mitzvah of yibum, in which case we will write in the Geret Merit. Or Mishnah Reina, which of course in Shmuel's time already, that was already the Mishnah Reina. So he's saying, we won't write in the Geret Merit because we're not Mechayev of Yibum anymore. Because we're Chayesh that he's not Mechayev in the Shem Mitzvah. And therefore, the Tznan, Mitzvahs Yibum Kodemet, the Mitzvah Chalitza, that's only Berishana, Shayim Mitzvah in the Shem Mitzvah, but Achshav, Shayim Mitzvah in the Shem Mitzvah. So nowadays the Chachomim say that Mitzvah Chalitza, Kodemet the Mitzvah Yibum. Therefore, if he wants Bedavka to be Miyabe, so then, ain't his kakimah, because why should we assume we should force her? Maybe he's not being miskaf in the shem mitzvah. And therefore, we tell him, look, you want to get married, bedafka. Marry some other woman. You want to be mekayem your mitzvah? Do chalitza. Why should we write any nigeret merit against her? And that's the simplest explanation. So now, getting back to the Mishnah, we had a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. What is the shir? Is the shir the seven dinarim, or is the shir seven trapkiin? What exactly are these? These coins over here. My trapikim, what are they? Omer of Sheshes, Astira. It's the Astira coin. No, I don't know. Kama Astira, what's that? An Astira is a palga de zuza. So, one half of a zuz suri. In other words, we have three mo's, therefore. A zuz suri is six mo, this is half of that. Three mo. Tanya Nami Hachi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shlosha trapikim. What this gets you is basically a total. For each week, three trafikim, which are nine mo'in, and that equals mo'a v'chetzi l'chol yom. So in other words, we see now that Rabbi Yehuda, when he actually speaks out in terms of the mo'a, So he explains that it turns out to be mavachetzi l'chol yom, and that's exactly what we just said. If it's a palga dezuza, so then since sheish ma kesef is a zuz tsuri, shalosh ma is therefore would be the trafikin, and then you would have three of them. You would have now teisha moin split up between 6 days of the week. Interestingly, not including Shabbos, which we're going to discuss in a moment, will come out to instead of the seven dinarim, which didn't yesterday include Shabbos, dinner per yom. Over here, we're giving a mavachetzi l'yom. Why is that? Ma'ishna e the avinu leid Shabbat. When he is suing now for a moreda, so over there we're talking about giving him for the Shabbos also. We say that over there, in the second case of the Mishnah, we said that the machlokas was shlosha trafikin, mashen kishor shlosha dinari b'Shabbos. The shlosha dinari would be half a dinner, or we just said the shlosha trafikin, which is teisha moin mavachetzi. So why exactly now when it comes to him, do we talk about, we're talking about seven and one for every day, whereas by her we don't do that? That's because you see, ihi the mifchat kapachit lo mifzik iskar Shabbos. To her, what are we doing? Deducting from her existing ketuvah. So if we deduct, there's no issue of getting paid. You're not paying anybody, so it doesn't look like iskar Shabbos. What's not coming if we take off what's due on Shabbos also? But we're being mosif for a ketuvah. So that means we're paying her. So to speak, we're paying her against his lack of service. So then it means that we're actually it's a mitzvah. It appears over here as if we are paying her since he's not doing what he needs to do for her. So in exchange for everything that she is doing, she gets this additional for her ketuvah. So over there, it's mitzvah kishkar Shabbos. So in Afinami, if we're going to take what we'd give for every day, we're going to say a dinner every day. We're going to say every day, and we add also Skar Shabbos. It's clearly Skar Shabbos. But I thought Skar Shabbos Pavlo was mother. If you were paying her for the week, so it's three dinner or three trafficking for the week. So why can't we make it just the three and a half, and include Shabbos?
Just on your back account,
Shabbos. Yeah. So that's what it says, because over here, if they make up in the middle of the week, it's going to be defined. It's per diem. It isn't for Shabbos. So it's nicker, each day is nicker over here. It isn't defined per week or anything. So in the Melech, it isn't necessarily for looking like Havlah. And another question that bothers me is, why is the value different? Why is it that for the Moreid, we're basically taking only the half a dinner, and for her, we're taking a full dinner, or half a traffic, or for her, a full traffic. Why is that? Oh, Marley, what do you mean? You don't know anything about market values. Selamat, Mishuk Shel Zonot. You go out there, and you're basically looking at the sex market. Who's paying who more? And most of the activity is the men are renting the women, not the women are renting the men. So that means that you've got a higher price. Misocheretni, you've got a higher price for a woman. So therefore, if she is now being moredet, so that means that his value, he's getting less value. Right? She costs more money to hire. If he would have to pay a prostitute in exchange for her services, he'd be paying more money. Therefore, we pay him more. Since over here, he is visibly hard up, because of that, it's a bizoyan for him, so we have to take that into consideration and pay him more for what it is that he's being lost at. You're on. Now, this, by the way, machlok is when we can be mashret. But we're just talking about a guy's not around, and they're not living together. He basically works out of town, comes back every once in a while, whatever the case may be, with brochures to the pub and chamarim and so on. So he has to arrange for someone, an agent, who's going to be taking care of his wife, and that person is going to be providing whatever it is that she needs. And so that's called mashra. Mashra is a lashon of su'udah, shiruta. So he's taking care of her. How much does he have to provide for her? I mean, if she's eating in the house, so then obviously they're sharing the su'udahs and so on, whatever it is that he's eating, she's eating. But over here, he's not eating with her. What is the minimum? We'll make it clear later on. The mission will make it clear later on. It's an absolute minimum. In other words, no matter what it is that he can afford, he's going to have to manage to give her this, because this is survival, basically. And then the fee, what he's shayach to personally, obviously has to be mosif. But right now we're talking about a minimum. So Hamashret Ishto Yadei Shalish, Lo Yifchot Lo, you cannot provide less food than Shnei Kavim Chitim. You can have two kav of chitim. A kav is approximately 2 liter in our terms. Of chitim. Now chitim, you would make a lot better bread, or if you're going to be giving sa'orim, you'd have to double that. Arba'a kavim sa'orim per week. Omer of Yosef, well, lo pasik sa'orim la Rav Yishmael, shu samoch la'edom. The only guy, and it's going to turn out that that's not exactly what it means, it's that since Rav Yishmael, who is samoch la'edom with the chitim, or sa'orim arose, we have to double. That's what it means. What it sounds like it's saying is that nobody normal would feed his wife sa'orim. So that's not included, that's not even realistic bread. So, but that is not what it means. V'notenla, in addition to that, we have to also provide for her. I mean, where's she going to get chumos and trina? I mean, what are you going to dip your bread in? So she needs also a chatzi kav of kidneys, also a chatzi log shemen. This is all talking about per week. Chatzi log shemen, a kav. Now, what about fruit? So you have a kav of grogrot, oman edvela. So it depends. You can either give her the dried figs or pressed figs or the equivalent. Obviously, that's not the type of fruit that's available. So posek b'matan perot b'makom acher, whatever it is that's available in that area. But we certainly include fruit as part of a required diet, and therefore the mainstays of her diet over here are going to be, as we said, a certain amount of legumes. You have what to dip chumas trina. With oil, obviously, she needs the oil, a certain amount of fruit, a certain amount of bread. Notice it doesn't say anything about wine, which we're going to be discussing later.
Or meat or poultry.
In other words, we have enough protein. Again, this is minimal.
Yeah.
So we have enough protein in our kidneys, and this is a perfectly livable Mediterranean diet.
Is that
the definitely not the Pritikin diet. So, and definitely not the South Beach diet either. Okay, but this is minimal. Besides that, she also has to have various things. Noten la mita, she has to provide for her basic furniture. She has a mita, a mafatz or machatzelet. Venoten la kippa la rosha, she has to have now her hair covering. This refers to once a year. Chagor la motneha, and when it comes to shoes, I mean shoes, you need much more than that. I mean, come on. So shoes, you need a new pair of shoes. Again, this is minimal. A new pair of shoes for every young. Mimo'ed l'mo'ed. And then her yearly allowance for clothing. Now the clothing of kelim shel chamishim zuz mishana l'shana. So various things that now she's going to require is 50 zuz per annum. Ve'in notinim la. Lo chadashim b'yamat ha'chama v'lo shechakim b'yamat ha'gishamim. It has to be, as we saw earlier, appropriate. What you're getting for has to be appropriate for the season. So you can't give her new clothing that are very hot. In those days, I mean, it was the same material. I just used the material after it was worn down and became thin. She would use that during the Yomot HaChama, but you can't do it in the inverse. You can't give her the Chadashim in the middle of the summer when she's going to broil in them, and then have the Shechakim when she's too cold in Yomot HaGeshamim. It has to be the other way around. So, Lo Shechak Yomot HaGeshamim. Notnim la kelim shel chamishim zuz. You buy her dress allowance of chamishim zuz during Yomot HaGeshamim, and then as it wears down over the winter, he mitkasa biblootehem b'Yomot HaChama. Then she uses now the same clothing, but now they're thin and good for the summer. V'hashechakim shela, and after they become rags, and he replaces them next year with new things, she doesn't have to give back the rags to him. She gets to keep the rags also. Furthermore, noten la ma'akesev etzorcha, as we saw before, every week she has a general allowance of ma'akesev, and that we spoke about earlier at length, whether that's an exchange for the matzah locus from the motar, or whether it's for the actual masi adeh, and even though he's being mashre her, ochelat imo melele Shabbat belele Shabbat, he eats one meal a week with her, which is Friday nights, even though he's working out of the house and so on and so forth. That's considered to be that's the time anyway in which they're supposed to be intimate with each other. It makes sense to have a nice romantic meal beforehand, and there's some candles there for Neir Shabbos. You know, it's a romantic meal. Actually, we'll see that it's a machlokas whether it really means literally ochelat ima or whether that's just a euphemism. But pashtus, it means that she gets one additional meal besides this. It would be nagel halacha because this would be therefore sufficient for, let's say, 14 meals a week. What we're saying. And besides that, since you have the extra siddur on Shabbos, so the 15th meal is being ochelet, you might say the Gemara is going to end up, but it will be dependent on this machlokas, whether ochelet means literally ochelet or not. Umayo salo, and we saw earlier that the ma yosa lo in conjunction with the ma kesev b'tzorcha either is meant to, and what does she do for him beyond which it's the ma kesev, or this is connected to the ma kesev. That was a machlokas. So that was mishkal chomesh shloim shesi, which is the thread now, which is the what do you call it in English? The warp and which one is the weave? I think the warp is this, the one that's straight across, right? The weft is the one that goes through, is the aray. So the warp threads in Yehuda, which are eser sla'im begalil, over there would be double the weight, the system of weights that they were using, or mishkal eser sla'im arev, which is a thinner thread that is used for the weft in Yehuda, shehem esrim sla'im begalil. Obviously, we have to have a thinner thread that we're going to be throwing back and forth with the shovel. So over there, it would equal 20 of the galilean sla'im. Now, if she was nursing, then she has less energy and needs more time for taking care of the kid. So then, she needs more nourishment, and you have to take that into consideration of being mashra, and less time, so she makes less of ma'aseh yadayim. Now, all of the above, b'medvarim amurim ba'oni shebi Yisrael, we're talking over here literally complete evyonim who have nothing. So this is mamish survival that we're talking about over here, and that's absolute chiyev. Avam in mechuban, if he can afford more than survival, akolafi kvodo, as we saw, it all goes according to the level that he can afford, and whatever his household is for himself, that's what she's olaimo, and her household is the same as his. As the Gemara, the shiur in the Mishnah does not seem to work out, because remember that the shiur of a se'uda is kavua in terms of the dinim of an erev. Right, so the dinim of an eruv tells us how much bread is considered to be a se'uda, and that way we ought to be able to match it up with the minimal chiyuv of se'uda in the Mishnah. The problem is that all of the shitas that talk about what the shear of an eruv is don't match, none of them match up with what we seem to be considering enough for a se'uda here. Because if you split what it says in our Mishnah into 14 parts, which is the amount of the se'uda that's required, it doesn't match up. Money must be seen. It's not going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, and it's not going like Rabbi Shimon. Because we learned when it comes to the Eruv Tchumim, the din over there is you need sufficient for each individual when you're making Eruv Tchumim. So you can't just make one Eruv for everybody, like you do with the Chatzeres. But rather, each individual is going to be kind of Mokum Shvisa outside of his house, needs to have that minimum amount of food in his Mokum Shvisa. So that means we're talking about over here, the shear of Mazon Shtei Se'udot Kol Echad V'Echad. So what we need is the amount of food, and it actually depends what the food is. I mean, you can do this very easily by deciding, you know what, we'll just provide dessert. Okay, so then how much would be a dessert? But if you're talking about the bread, so then it's enough for two se'udais, and that would be how much? Mizanon l'chol. I mean, look, this is a sort of b'dieved situation. In other words, we're looking for a mouth, obviously the whole thing is a form. So what the person would eat b'chol, not what he would eat on Shabbos, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, on the contrary. The bread that he would eat on Shabbos, not the bread that he would eat in a meal in chol, two meals in chol, the zevzem mitkavim lahakel, both of them basically referring to hakel. Rabbi Meir would eat more bread on Shabbos than he would eat during the week, because he would have, here Rashi says, because, I mean, you have a lot of different courses. Every course requires bread. You eat a little bit of bread with the fish. You eat some bread with the meat. So you end up eating more bread. I mean, Erev and Rashi says it's because the food is tastier, so you have more of a desire to have a, you know, bigger, yeah, Nesham Yisrael, so you'll eat more bread. And they're both being Bechav and Ahaka, because Rabbi Yehuda used to eat more during the chol, because over there were so many things that you ate at the Kiddush, you know, so he would eat a Kiddush, so he filled himself up on cakes and he'd eat less bread, so because of that he was, but they were both saying basically the minimal amount, not the maximum amount that you would need for Shabbat. Now, how much is this? So now we have a machlokas of what is the definition of this minimal se'uda in terms of bread, and here's where we get into trouble with our mission. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says, look, the way that you work this out is a kikar, which is lakuach bepundion, at a time that we're selling the chitim at arba soin lesela. So if you've got four saw for a sela, so a sela is four dinner, each one of which is 6 months. Well, let's figure it out in terms of pundionas, because we want to figure out how much we get per pundion. A sela is four dinner times six. Six of our maas in a dinner. 2 pudyanas for every ma equals 4 times 6 times 2 is priscilla 48. Okay, so we got 48, and the price over here, therefore, what we would have, says Rabbi Yochanan, is a kika that you buy per pudyan when you've got 4 signed priscilla. Okay? Rabbi Shimon says, no. The 2 su'udais are actually shtei yadot likikar, mishalot kikarot likav. So 2 su'udas are 2 yados, meaning 2/3 of a kikar, where you've got 3 kikarot now that are being put into a single kav, which means that a kav itself would be actually, this kav is now 9 su'udais. You have 3 su'udais per kikar, 3 kikarot likav. Half of one of those kikarot now would be the shear for somebody who is going to become tamei by going into a bayat menuga. The din over there is that you need kidei achilas pras. So kidei achilas pras, a pras is a half of a seuda. So that's the schatzi of this kikar. So that's the shear of tumas begadim. It's also the shear, of course, we use kidei achilas pras for achilas kezayit to define achila. But the place where the Torah is makbid on a shear of what it would take to eat, even though it's not makbid on the actual eating, is the din of tumas bia in a bayit hamenuga. Shear of time, even though the Torah says ha'ochel, but we learn out that it doesn't mean literally that you eat, but the shear which it would take you to eat. So that's where the idea of achilas pras comes from. So pras means a broken, a half, split it into half. So a chatzi of this kikar would be the shear of bayit hamenuga. Chetzi chetzia, half of that shear would be, so that means achil of chatzi pras. If somebody eats something that's tamei, obviously midiraisa, you cannot make your body tamei from ochlin, because only an avatuma is metame and adam. And there's no din except by nivlas of tohar, of eating something, that's the way you would mean over there also. It's tumas beis habliya, it's not really the act of achila per se. However, the Rabbanan created a new tuma, which is pasos the gviya. It's not real tuma to make you tummy to be metame acherim, but it's called a psul of tuma. So it pasos you from eating truma. So that shear would be half of the pras. So therefore, you have now, in other words, you start off the kikar. We're talking about a kikar that has over here sholosh, kikreis, lekav, would equal, if you work it out in terms of the number of beitzim, 8 beitzim, because a kav is 24 beitzim. If you split that into 3 kikarot lekav, so then you're talking about over here, if you split it up into the 4, so now it turns out that you've got 2 beitzim for psul gvia, because half of the half. So 2 beitzim now, and that gives us chetzi chetzia, is 2. Chetzia would be 4. And now we know all of our shiurim in terms of bayit menuga, achilas pras, psul gvia, and chetzi chetzia, which is of course the shiur now of beitza, would be the shiur of chetzi chetzia, 1 beitza, and that's the shiur of kabbalas tumas eichel. It's defined in this way. Kikar, right? Kikar, which is the way we're defining it, is a kikar of 3 to a kav is 8 beitzim. Right? Because a kav is defined. A kav is a normal measurement. So a kav is defined as 24 beitzim. So if you got 3 of these per kav, then you're talking about now 8 beitzim in each one of these kikarot. If you split that into chetzi, 4 beitzim, chetzi, chetzi, 2 beitzim, chetzi, 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 1 beitza. So basically what it's saying is the share of pras is half of that. All of those, that's a big problem, is the volume issue, because what we do today is we try to make it easy, but it's really a sheer volume.
We use weight.
That's right, which is a problem, because people think that it's across the board. Obviously, it depends on the type of food that you're eating. It's completely different in terms of the volume per weight. That becomes really complicated when you're talking about things like mezonos or things like lechem, which have a lot of airspace. How much airspace is allowable? So now I'll chop it up. Now that I chop it up, it turns out to have like a tenth of the volume that it had, but that's what I'm supposed to weigh. I'm not supposed to weigh the initial amount, right? I'm weighing the kikar. So this if you really want to do it accurately, you have to first take the volume. Then you see how much that is in terms of its weight, of each thing separately. That's why they have these books where somebody actually sits and does that. Takes the thing and sees according to each volume what its weight would be. But there's no real shear of a Josias Kibetz in terms of weight. That's like a very, that was the beautiful chav of the metric system. was to interrelate the weight of standard water per volume. So at least that way you have some interrelationship. But I mean, over here talking about eggs, it's a little bit difficult to relate the two. Fine. But anyway, the problem over here is that this doesn't work out. Money. Because E. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, if you're talking about, if you're going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, then out of your two chitim, what the Mishnah is talking about, and you need, after all, 14 seudais to get out of that. But according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, you're only getting 8 seudais, the way that he just worked it out. So that's t'mani havin. If you're going according to Rabbi Shimon, who is saying that we're talking about 9 seudais per kav, so then in 2 kavs that the Mishnah is talking about, you're getting 18 seudas. Why do you need 18 seudas? I mean, even if you want to say that we're including shalashudas, and we're including, we're going according to the Mandi Amar, who says that when it says he eats with her, he doesn't mean literally he eats with her, it means he sleeps with her, but she's still, that seudas included. You still only get up to 15. You don't get up to 18. So how could the Mishnah make any sense? According to Rabbi Shimon, Tamani Srihaga. Says the Gemara, wait, you misunderstand Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha here. Leolam Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. But as Rav Chisda explained, What he's talking about is the actual food. What we're talking about over here is, if you're talking of the fee, the profit of the chenveni, which we gave a value at the time that food costs are X, Y, and Z, that's talking about the wholesale cost. If you're talking about now the chenveni, remember the chenveni is skimming off a third for his profit. So that means that what you really have to do, we're talking about the theoretical value of the food. So now I see tilsa. So that means you have to basically take now an additional third, should be alive, and add it to the initial value. And therefore you end up with more. Okay, fine, do that. So what do you get? You still get, what, 12. So I don't understand how you're coming out. You're telling me that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, you get 8. So you're saying, but you have to include over here now, in terms of the actual food, there was additional third. A third means a third of the total, which is an additional 50%. Okay, so fine, so add an additional 50%. No. So what are you going to get? 8 plus half of 8. That's your additional third. You now have 3/3 of 4, 4, and 4. But still gives you 12. The Mishnah is talking about 14 at least, maybe 15. It still doesn't work out according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. So that doesn't work. And if it's going according to Rabbi Shimon, okay, let's work it out according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, we started off, we said, so according to him, we're going to now be talking about Shtei Adot L'Kikar, and if it's him, so then it's Tmani Srihavya. So if you want to do it in the other direction, you want to say Shlish L'Chenveni, so you're also going to work, it's not going to work out. So then how exactly do we get to 14? So it says, even Akati Tarti Srihavya. So what's that? No, okay, but remember, she's eating with him. Chelet imo lele Shabbat. Okay, fine. First of all, hinech lamandi yom achila mamish. Ela lamandi yom achila doesn't mean mamish, it's tashmish, ma'ikala meimra. And besides which, even if it does mean achila mamish, it only gives you another meal. That's 13. We're talking about 7 days. You need 14. So even if you want to ignore sudash lichi, you still need 14. So it doesn't work out even this way, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. If you start dealing with Rav Shimon, obviously you're making things worse, not better. You're not even getting close. You're way above it. Well, actually, there was another maimer of Rav Chisda, which the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. I mean, since it's a contradiction of Rav Chisda, that, well, the chenveni actually has to take a profit of mecht, not shlish. Okay, fine. So take now palga v'shdui alei. So achinami, ask your palga. So according to this, if you'll take half, and later on we're going to ask, it still isn't going to make sense. But if you take half and you throw it onto it, so then we get enough for her to eat. I mean, what do we do with the extra? We don't know yet. But we'll talk about this in a moment. But first of all, can't Rav Chisda make up his mind? Kashi Rav Chisda or Rav Chisda? I mean, what is it? Is it a shlish or is it a chetzi? No, lo kashi haba ato de yoivtzi, the haba ato de lo yoivtzivi. Remember that what you're buying over here is bread. I mean, the cost of the grain, does that include now the tzivi, which is the fuel? So our fuel costs actually figured into, so when he goes out and buys now at wholesale rates, they include with that rate the amount of fuel that will be necessary to turn this into bread. So then his profit, obviously, is sufficient if he gets a third. But if he's also now going to have to go out and buy fuel, So he's got a fuel surcharge. This is how they play the games on the flights also. Same thing. Fuel surcharges. All of a sudden, his profit goes up. So now he's going to need more. So that's not a problem. So Rav Chisda is talking about two different locations. It depends. There are places where there is a fuel surcharge. There's places where there's not, and it's included in the actual cost of the grain. So that's not a problem. Okay, so therefore what you're saying is he is going to get half, meaning 100% profit. So because a half means a half of the total. So that means let's double it. So according to Rav Yochanan, we started with 8. Now we have 16. But we don't need 16. And there's, even if you're going to tell me, and we're talking about over here, that ochelet imo doesn't mean literally ochelet imo. It means he sleeps with her, but he still has to provide for the food. That's 15 seudas, not 16 seudas. So it still doesn't really match up. Asks the Gemara, okay, but still, let's get to the actual numbers here. The 8 becomes 16, is what you're saying. Okay, so what does he need it? Are you saying now that this works out only according to Rechitka? Rechitka holds that there's not a din of shalosh seudas, there's a din of arba seudas on Shabbos. So that the extra seuda that you eat now, which we have as a malava malka, is meikar adin. So then according to him, now you come out with 16. You have the 14 suddas, 2 suddas a day times the 7 days, plus a Shabbos, you have 2 additional suddas. Plus, you're going to have to say that it's going according to the Man Yomar, who says that it doesn't mean that he literally feeds her one meal. So that's, you're telling me that that's our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is Stam going like Rav Chitki, and that's what we're supposed to conclude? The Omar Arbasu don't chayav adam lechol b'Shabbat. No. Afilu teimu Rabbonan, if they be going according to Rabbonan, you only need 3 suddas on Shabbos. But Dal Chadale Archil Parchi. And look, what's a woman going to say? Guy knocks on the door. I'm sorry, but I don't have anything to eat in this house. You have to provide at least one seuda. Somebody comes by. If you're going to say that, so then you don't have to be saying anymore that it's going dafka according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Afilu Teimer Rabbi Shimon. Maybe you could say the same thing. We could say maybe Dal Tlas Le Archil Parchi. What was your problem? You had 3 extra meals. Give 3 extra meals. Going to Pchitki, you need an extra meal for Shabbos. Yeah, give 2 extra meals for the... we've got, for guests. So we've got so many elements that we can vary it on. Does it mean 15 suddas? Does it mean 14 suddas? Does it mean 16 suddas? Does it mean 16 suddas plus an additional 2 for Achir Parchi? Does it mean an additional 3 for Achir Parchi? Okay, so now already we can make it work out. I'll leave it with the Guliyama. It's not such a problem to match it up. Plus, remember, it depends how much he's making. Do we need the 100% profit, 50% profit? Okay, so that already allows us enough room that we can get along.
Is it 1/6 for profit?
No, that's been a 1/6 for, no, above market value. That doesn't discuss profit. There's no limit of the profit. Profit is what you need to function.
One more time, is this market value based on
what? On what Chenvani's take. Yeah, no, it's not worth it for me to keep my bakery going if I'm not going to make this amount of money. This is what makes it worthwhile. Okay, so then if other people are able to keep their stores open for less, then already you have to tell people you're selling above market cost. And then it would be oh no if you're charging them more. We're talking about only the bread part of the soda. We allow for that separately. The kidneys, the oil, and so on, we're giving you separately. Same thing for the Erev. For the Erev Tchumim, we're also dealing separately that particular element. But what do you do with the rest of it? That's already, okay. I once had a mamish halacha l'maisa for this. I don't know if you were there. It was in the HomoWeb. They were mamish overwhelmed with people. And they had to rent additional space at a Gold Mountain thing. It was like outside of the Tchum. So, like, how in the world do you make an Erev Tchumim for all those guests? Where are you going to put that food? It's not going to be open to animals to get, and so on, as that is Bishomer. So what we did is we used grape juice. The amount of grape juice that would be required at the soda for each guest. It was very simple to make it.
Case of bottles?
Yeah, that's right. And that's not much what we did. We got permission from the local, I call it that little store in the middle. We should thought we were crazy. Omer Rav Yosef. Lo Pasak Sa'or. What is Rav Yosef saying? That the only one who allows Sa'or to be considered food is Rav Yishmael? But Ela Be'ed Omer Dech Nisorim B'kuli Amal O'ach. What are you saying? That Sa'orin are not considered to be food anywhere else in the world except in Edom. Doesn't make sense. Halachi Kama, no. What he meant was to say that Lo Pasak Sa'orim Kiflayim B'chitim Ela Rav Yishmael. The only reason we're saying you need double the amount of Sa'orin in such a poor grain, that's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael is Somach LeEdom. In Edom, which is Seir, obviously the Seorim Adumiot are not good Seirim. They're Seorim, they're not good Seorim. So they're Ra'otim. Vinotin lachatzi kav kitnis. That's strange. How come it doesn't talk about what she needs for drinking? I mean, what is she supposed to drink? Water? Whatever it is.
Oh my God.
Doesn't she need wine? I mean, she may be an ani b'Yisrael, but you can't expect the person to actually strangle to death, not having anything to drink. Misayele Rebbe Elazar. The Amar Rebbe Elazar. Ein poskinye not liisha. That indeed, it's not a good idea for women to get too used to drinking wine. And therefore, the Mishnah does not consider it to be a necessity. And then, in fact, it's dangerous to give women wine. They get turned on. That loosens their morals. And if you're not around, it's for sure not a good idea. But in the Pasuk, it's clear that women do drink wine. Because it says over there, it's talking about the way in which Klal Yisrael is talking about her lovers, the Goyim, and the Avodah Zorah. So there's Elcha Charemi Ahavai. And it says, why will I go after my lovers? Because these Avodah Zorahs, notnei, lachmi, meimai, tzamri, fishti, shamni, veshikuyai. So here we're talking about bread, water, other needs, by clothing, tzemer, pishtim, shemen, those are things that we discussed. But here it says shikuyai. Shikuyai usually is understood as my drink, not water, my drink in terms of wine. Or what is she? Comes from her papa's family and talking about beer. Just when I was getting there. So why is it that you say shikuyai is here? It's talking about the norm. No, shikuyai doesn't mean mashke. Shikuyai means shokek, desire. So that's dvorim. He understands it, Rebbe Elazar, to mean dvorim shaisha mishtokeket aleihem. She doesn't get turned on by wine like she does by jewelry. So I know tashitim. But of course, tashitim means more than jewelry. Tashitim is the whole Avon line. You know, yeah. So it includes also things you need for your facials and so on. But that's what it refers to when it refers to shikuyai for a woman. And tomorrow we'll see more about inyanim of relationship between women.